As a child, she endured some of the most horrific, violent attacks that were extremely traumatizing. She's here to tell her story and the amazing way she built her life after. It's all coming up on the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show. Welcome to the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show. In the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show, we are joined by special guests talking about their experiences, the realities of investigating crimes, plus those who have experienced horrendous trauma. Police, first responders, military, and victims of crime share their stories. Hi, I'm John J. Wiley. In addition to being a broadcaster, I'm also a retired police sergeant. Be sure to check out our website, letradio.com, and also like us on Facebook. Search for the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show. The show is brought to you by OPPS, Operational Police Protective Services, now hiring security and protection professionals in Maryland, Virginia, Delaware, and Pennsylvania, off-duty and retired police officers, deputies, troopers, agents, and military in good standing are all encouraged to apply. Get more details at OPPSProtection.com. Connecting with us from the great state of Utah, we have Jan Broberg on the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show. Jan is a tremendously traumatic story. And I don't want to go into a lot of the details because I'm afraid I won't do it justice. We'll just say this. As a child, she went through some things that no child should have to go through. She has built a phenomenal life for herself since then. Horribly traumatic things, which she'll talk about. She's co-written with her mother two books, Stolen Innocence and The Jan Broberg Story. Finished a 9-part miniseries streaming on Peacock. It's called A Friend of the Family. And has an additional documentary on Peacock, A Friend of the Family, True Evil. And you can find her online, Linktree. That's linktr.ee/Jan Broberg. Jan, thanks so much for being a guest on the show and telling your story. Very much appreciated.
I'm thrilled to be here, John Jay. Thank you for inviting me.
One of the things as a parent, this is, I think, every parent's worst nightmare. And I'm sure it was for your parents. And I'm sure it was for you. And rather than assuming I know what you went through, let's just give a brief overview of what you went through as a child and how old you were.
I was 9 years old when this family moved into our neighborhood and we met them at church. You know, mom, dad, 5 kids, and the 3 oldest boys matched me and my 2 sisters in age. They became our best friends. And I was 9. And 3 years later, when I was 12, and of course, this man was like my favorite uncle. We had done hundreds of activities with this family, including campouts and boating. And, you know, they had all the toys. They had the snowmobiles and all the things. And 3 years later, he picked me up from my piano lesson. Again, this is like the closest friend you can imagine. And to take me horseback riding. And he handed me my allergy pill, which was a drug. He had emptied what was my allergy pill, and it was a sleeping peel. It knocked me out. And the next thing I knew, I woke up in the back of a moving motorhome with my wrists and ankles strapped to the bed, couldn't see who was driving, and this funny voice playing out of a box. And I was terrified. It's the 70s. It's this age of racing to space. And so I thought I had been kidnapped by an alien because of the sound of the voice, which was very eerie and staccato and kind of high-pitched. And we had been to many, many science fiction movies at that time, all of the kids. He would take us to everything. So he had groomed all of us in his own way, all the members of my family, you know, all the kids, the congregants, the neighborhood, the business community. He owned a furniture store. Everybody loved him. And then he sexually assaulted me I was 12 years old, very pre-puberty. That didn't happen until I was a senior in high school, 17 years old. And it was a real brainwashing that was extreme. But the common story that I think so many people can relate to is it was somebody that we knew, we loved, we trusted. He groomed us. He was a true psychopathic narcissist. And I'm not the first girl that he molested and raped. I wasn't the last either.
And you were 12 years old later, when this occurred.
I was 12. Yeah, exactly. And he took me to Mazatlan, Mexico, and that's where the federales, working with the FBI, found me in Mazatlan, Mexico, 45 days later. And I wasn't talking. I never told what he was doing because I thought I was supposed to. It's a story of real brainwashing, like a real premeditated, thought out, how am I going to get this, you know, I like young girls, how am I going to get this one to do what I want her to do? And so he made up this elaborate story that we had both been kidnapped by these aliens, and I, as this little 12-year-old, was an alien, and that's why my body looked the way it did, and it hadn't matured, and I was going to have a baby because that's how aliens look, and that was me, and I was going to have a baby to save their dying planet, and that my mother, whose name happens to be Mary, it was my biological mother, but my father was like Joseph in Mary, Jesus, and Joseph's story. He was my caretaker, but he wasn't my father. I was fathered by an alien being from this other planet. And when you take
and this is what he told people. Yeah,
this is what. No, he didn't tell anybody else. Only me, restrained by straps, laying on a bed with a box in my ear, totally isolated as this little girl that woke up to that sound, who already had been to probably 25 different science fiction movies with all of his kids and all of us and what we watched on TV, including Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie,
right,
and all of the benign things.
Look, I loved those shows as a kid. I'll be honest
with
you.
Me too.
My wife and I talk about the time, I wish I could do like Bewitched and just wiggle my nose and the house would be clean.
Exactly. I want to fly.
Yeah. Look, I want to also. Here's the thing that, I'm going to use the word amazed, and that's probably not the right word, because I'm horrified, but I'm also deeply intrigued by your story. I know neighbors that were abducted and raped, and it was horrible what they went through. They were in their late teen age when that happened, and there's no good time for this to happen. But as a 12-year-old, for this to happen, and we'll talk about some of the warning signs in a moment, that you were abducted for 45 days and then brainwashed with this stuff. And it's very easy to get into judginess about Stockholm syndrome and all that stuff that you should have told, you should have done this. I'm not going to do that because I wasn't there. I didn't go through that. And I wasn't 12. You know, I'm in my 60s now. So it's a totally different conversation.
Well, it is. And the thing that's so interesting to me is he was so premeditated that he set the trap by all of the other things that we did that looked like we're just having, you know, a night where our families are going to watch Planet of the Apes on TV and we're going to pop popcorn. That's what it looked like. And all of those things in that little brain and those kids, and I was the oldest, so I was an innocent 12 because I didn't have older siblings, you know, showing me the ropes.
Right.
And so, you know, and in a small community, Pocatello, Idaho, it was a very safe community. The university was literally across the street from our house. So our neighborhood was filled with professors and university people that, you know, it just, we had no fear of anything. We didn't even know, my mom and dad didn't know what a pedophile was. They said, a what? And the FBI agent kind of stammered, and he said, well, in the book, it's like, you know, somebody that has a fixation on kids or like a child molester, you know, and he said, I'll have to go back and read it again, you know, to really get the, he was a young FBI agent, but he became our dear friend and was our friend through his whole life. He died just about a year after my father passed a few years ago.
We're talking with Jan Broberg, and Jan, man, what a story. We've got so much more to tell you about. She was abducted, raped as a child. Grew up with the scars of all this trauma. She's co-written with her mother two books, Stolen Innocence and The Jan Broberg Story. Finished a 9-part miniseries streaming on Peacock, A Friend of the Family is called, and has an additional documentary on Peacock, A Friend of the Family, True Evil. When we return, we're going to talk about the initial abduction and rape. There's more. And we're going to talk about how all this impacted her. But most importantly, we're going to talk about two things. The warning signs we all need to be aware of as parents, as grandparents, as aunts, as uncles, as neighbors, and how she's built a phenomenal life for herself today. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. OPPS, Operational Police Protective Services, provides professional, safe, and effective security services in Maryland, Virginia, Delaware, and Pennsylvania, and will be expanding to other states soon. And they're hiring security and protection professionals, off-duty and retired police officers, deputies, troopers, agents, and military in good standing are all encouraged to apply. That's OPPS, Operational Police Protective Services. Get more details at OPPSProtection.com. Again, that's OPPSProtection.com. Law Enforcement Talk radio show is brought to you in part by Colonial Metals Group. Protect your family's financial future with gold and silver. Their level of professionalism makes it easy for you to learn everything you need to know about preserving all you've worked for. Take advantage of a special offer for our audience and you'll receive a safe and up to $10,000 in free silver. Call 800-898-1841. 800-898-1841. That's 800-898-1841 or go online to colonialmetalsgroup.com/LET radio. We are joined by special guest Jan Broberg. Jan was abducted twice. That's twice. And raped as a child. The incidents had a profound effect on her. She was held hostage for a long period of time in the first one. She's co-written two books with her mother, Stolen Innocence and the Jan Broberg Story, finished a 9-part miniseries streaming on Peacock, A Friend of the Family, and has an additional documentary on Peacock, A Friend of the Family, True Evil. Best way to find Jan is online, Linktree, that's linktr.ee/Jan Broberg. For Windsor Break, Jan, you're talking about the first abduction, and I wanted to set the stage. This is, and I hate the term, a family friend. This is someone that ingratiated himself with you, your family, was trusted. You lived in a great neighborhood. These sorts of things weren't supposed to happen. This was in the 70s when we didn't have the internet. We didn't have all the awareness that we have today. And a lot of people didn't even think of pedophiles or child molesters or the creep down the street. We thought of the guy with the van. Hey, kid, help me find my lost kitten. Or do you want some candy? That wasn't the case. This was someone that really made an effort to become friends of the family.
Absolutely. And I think that's what makes my story so, I don't know if it's so important, but it makes it a common story because so many, many children, tweens and teens, and even young adults are going to be perpetrated upon by someone that they know, that they already trust, and that their parents know and already trust, a family member, and that is why the monster that you invite in is the scariest one, because you invited them in. We opened up our home to him, his wife, his 5 children, and 3 years later, he kidnaps me that first time. After I came home 45 days later with the FBI, finding me in Mazatlan, Mexico, he was, of course, in jail for a minute and then extradited from Mexico back to the United States and, of course, posted bail. And he's out. And with his family, they're coming to church again. Same church. That's where we met him. And there they are sitting on the row. And there he is. And I, as this young girl, had been completely, my mind had been completely manipulated to believe I was being watched and that I had been watched since the time I was born. It's a very extreme story of brainwashing, but I think people don't understand how easy it is. It could have just been a threat that I will hurt your little sister. I'll take her if you don't do what I want. But instead, he devised this whole scheme of this alien planet and that I was going to have a baby to save their planet. So I'm home. I don't talk. I don't tell anybody what's happened. This is like, think of your best friend or your brother or your sister or your favorite school teacher that got Teacher of the Year. You have to think of that person that you already trust, who is so charismatic, who knows exactly what to say to your mom, your dad, the other sisters, the friends, the neighbors, who's like the Pied Piper and so charismatic that everybody loved him, so service-oriented. And that's the monster that you let in. You invite them in. Right. You think they're your friend. And that's what we thought. And after I was brought home that first time, a year and a half later, he kidnapped me again. He was in touch with me throughout that time. Of course, we didn't have cell phones, but I would get notes from people at school, people I didn't know, and they would stand by the fence or they would come onto the school grounds and then they'd leave and I'd never seen them before. And it would say, go to this phone booth, back in the days when we had phone booths, at 4 o'clock and sit on the floor and the phone will ring. So I'd come home from school and say, Mom, I'm going on a bike ride, because I wasn't driving yet. And I'd go to that phone booth just a few blocks away and I'd sit on the floor and the phone would ring. And who was it on the other end? It was him, because he's not in jail. People think, oh, well, he's got to be in jail. Oh, no, he's not in jail. He hasn't even had a trial yet. So he kidnaps me a second time a year and a half later, and he puts me into a Catholic boarding school in Pasadena, California, tells the nuns, the sweet sisters of mercy, that I'm his daughter, that we have escaped from Lebanon and that my mother has been killed because he's a CIA agent and he has all the credentials. I mean, this is elaborate what he went through to pretend he was somebody else. And I'm his daughter and they've got to protect me because he has to go to work at the CIA, but he'll come on the weekends and pick me up, but don't let anybody else get around her because they might grab her and torture her to get to me because I'm this big level CIA agent. I mean, my story goes on and on and on. We could talk for like 19 hours.
Well,
here's the thing
about this, and I got to say this, and I'm not saying this in a judgy way. So for those listening, please understand, this sounds preposterous. And as an adult in my 60s, it is. As a 12-year-old or 14-year-old, it is not. It's like, how do you combat that? The thought of kidnapping a child, abducting them, moving to a different state, and enrolling them in a different school is mind-blowing.
Yeah. It truly is. And the thing is that, of course, I went along with it because I thought they were watching me. And if I didn't do what I was supposed to do, that I would be, you know, vaporized. Like I would cease to exist, both my body and soul. And I grew up in a religious family and I believed in, you know, eternal life and that we're eternal progression. And the idea that I wouldn't exist anymore was so terrifying. That was more terrifying than being raped every day. I'm telling you, they know how to zero in on what matters to you and make sure that they feel the need. That's the first step in grooming, is to pick your target. Who are you going to do and why is it that little girl and not the other one down the street? There's reasons. They target, and then they start to build trust, not just with the child, but with the parents, with anybody that might be in the way.
Especially the family. And it's not just the neighbor down the street. And I want people to understand this. The people that pose the biggest threat is not the creep down the street. It's the person that really wants to get access to the children. I hate to answer yes to stereotypes, so please don't think I'm doing this. It's the scoutmasters. It's the ministers. It's the priests. It's the nuns. It's the people that are Father. Part of the church, whatever it might be, that do this. Yep. And it's also loved ones. It's not just the creep down the street.
No, in fact, over 70% of the time, it's somebody in the family or the extended family. That's who's molesting and raping and trafficking your child. I have a story. I spoke with the Attorney General of Utah a few years back. I have another documentary called Abducted in Plain Sight that came out in 2019, and I got calls all over. I was on Dr. Phil and Oz and all the shows, and I got to do some really pretty cool public speaking, and the district attorney, or not district, but the Attorney General of Utah told the audience a story about this one man. And he said he was afraid to come in and say anything because he didn't have papers, but he finally walked in the door because he's like, something's wrong with my son, in his broken English. And he said, and I see other kids, they ride their bike to this house and then they come out, and I don't know who lives there, but my son, I told him he can't go to that house. So I don't think he goes to the house. Well, the son was going in a different pattern with his bike. This man on the corner was trafficking like all the kids in the neighborhood, two other people who were paying in a beautiful Mormon neighborhood in like Draper, Utah. And so you go, okay, wait, how does that happen? And that attorney general just kept saying, you got to listen to what Jan's saying. It isn't somebody that's scary and strange to you. It's somebody that you love and trust already. Please listen to what she's saying. It's absolutely the truth. It is somebody that you know. And over 70% of the time, it is somebody in the immediate family. The father, then the mother, then the stepfather, then the stepmother. Those are the statistics.
And we
then
were
grandpa.
Early on in police work, that part of a sex crime investigation with children, especially, is to believe what they tell you. It's not something that a 10-year-old or 12-year-old comes up on their own. It's just not. It's not something that's in their wheelhouse. We're talking with Jan Broberg. She was abducted twice, raped multiple times as a child by someone the family knew. And she's co-written with her mother two books, Stolen Innocence and the Jan Broberg Story. Finished a 9-part miniseries streaming on Peacock. It's called A Friend of the Family. And has an additional documentary on Peacock, A Friend of the Family, True Evil. This is the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. Our sponsor, Colonial Metals Group, helped me with my goal of protecting my financial future. Being at the whim of the stock market or the current administration doesn't make me feel safe or secure. But having a self-directed IRA where I can safely store gold and silver, assets that have stood the test of time, no matter what the economy or the government policies are, makes sense to me. Colonial Metals Group has helped me create a self-directed IRA where I can have direct access to my assets. Let the team of experts at Colonial Metals Group help you protect your family's future. Their level of professionalism and ability to listen make it easy for you to learn everything you need to know about preserving all you've worked for. Maybe you're just thinking of getting started, or maybe you've already in a 401k or IRA. You're thinking about your parents' retirement. Regardless, Colonial Metals Group can help. We put together a special offer for our audience. Call 800-898-1841. 800-898-1841. That's 800-898-1841. Or go online to colonialmetalsgroup.com/LET radio. Return conversation with Jan Broberg on the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show. Jan was abducted twice as a child, raped multiple times. Held hostage for a long period of time. She's co-written two books for her mother, Stolen Innocence and A Jan Broberg Story. Finished a 9-part miniseries streaming on Peacock. It's called A Friend of the Family. And has an additional documentary on Peacock called A Friend of the Family, True Evil. Best way to get more information about Jan is online, linktree.com. Just go to linktree or linktr.ee/Jan Broberg. Jan, we talk about these things, and it's kind of hard to have a conversation about it and not seem dispassionate. I'm very passionate about taking care of our children. I'm very passionate about protecting our children. And I'm very passionate when it comes to stories of sex abuse and sex assault and sex crimes and all that, because I want people to understand this. It is so invasive. And this is a guy talking. It's so invasive. Yeah. It's really about control, dominance, and power. And quite often, they're very violent. And this guy had control over you, not just when you were abducted, not just when he was taking advantage of you, raping you, but had control of your mind for long periods of time after as well. Am I sugarcoating this?
No, you're not. That's exactly right. Because he was a master, not only a master manipulator, but he had such a plan of how he was going to make sure that I would do exactly what I was told, as if he was abducted as well, as if he was also a victim. Like, well, I have to do this because I have to rape you. I mean, he didn't use those words, but we have to do this because, you know, you got to have the baby to save the dying planet. And I wish I didn't, but we'll be gentle. You know, we'll, you know, I'm not kidding. This guy, the silver tongue, but everybody liked him. Everybody loved him. People didn't see through him. My own parents didn't see through him. He entrapped my dad into a experience one time, and my dad never forgave himself before I was ever kidnapped. Like, he was out with, I can't go into it. Watch the series on Peacock. I just tell everybody, watch A Friend of the Family, 9 episodes. It's brilliantly made with brilliant actors, and it is very close to the truth because I was a producer on that. So I want people to watch A Friend of the Family.
I'm amazed that you are able to talk about this. And here,
well,
here's the reason
my
why.
Parents,
my heart breaks for them. And I'm going to say this. I was walking down the street, walking my dog late at night. And it was the day that the ship hit the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, and it created bridge collapsed. And I'm retired Baltimore police, and I became overwhelmed with incredible, and the only term I can come up with is sadness. It came out of nowhere. And I talked to my wife afterwards, and I was like, why do we have to go through so much stuff? Why do we have to see so much horrible things? Why do we have to go through all these horrible things and have a really nice life today? And here's the thing, Jan, maybe you can relate to this. I people look at me and I sometimes think if they only knew what I've been through, they wouldn't treat me as nice as they do.
Wow.
Do you ever get like that?
Powerful. Oh yeah, I do. And I think what's so, for me, it's like what happens to a child is that the shame gets lodged with them. Somehow they deserved it. Somehow they met. They because nobody talks about this. Nobody wants to talk about this. They want to talk about trafficking overseas.
I'd rather talk about the game. I don't want to talk about this.
Right. And yet everybody says, oh, but we care about our children. And, oh, we want to help them. We want to protect them. I'm like, really? When we never put the predator in jail, when we let the father back home, you know, get him out on bail, and then the kid ends up dead or raped, you know, a dozen more times. I mean, I have so many stories because people write to me, thank you for your words. It's helped me be able to tell my mom what I could never tell her because it was my dad, and he was in federal prison, and then he came home, and the day he got home, he raped me, you know, and because he told me he believed in incest. I didn't even know what he was talking about. I didn't know what that word meant. And I get these stories all the time, and I'm like, it's always someone they know, and no one wants to face it. No one wants to face the fact that it's somebody you already love, probably trust. That's the person. It's the, I mean, we had a guy in St. George, Utah, who was voted best teacher of the year like 5 years in a row, and then one mother that said something is wrong here. He always keeps my daughter in from recess to play special games. And she came home and said, oh, we just play special games. And sometimes he touches my underpants like that. Like, matter of fact, they go in finally. I mean, this is years. This man's been teaching like for 20 years, thousands of child pornography pictures. He has monkey bars in his classroom. And no, all those other moms and dads who had children that were now, I mean, now their kids are 20 years old and they're seeing pictures of their little child, you know, naked and in these poses and doing these things. And this guy has been teacher of the year 5 times in a row. People don't see it because they don't want to open their eyes to admit that the biggest problem and pandemic we have in this world is that 25% of our children, boys and girls, are being raped, trafficked, experiencing incest, exploitation, pornographic, you know, influence that they're being fed, and then they're being asked to do those acts in their home, you know, at their school, in scouts, at the church, by the, like you said, the priest or somebody that they yeah. trust, somebody yeah. that's teaching Sunday school. And it's just like, I started a foundation just because this series was coming out, and I'm like, we have to talk about the familiar predator, the family predator. The stranger danger thing is killing the real problem. It just kills it. Oh, it's a van and it's overseas and those, you know, all those Europeans and American businessmen, those horrible Jeffrey Epstein types, and they go over there and they rent kids and they buy kids. And I'm like, yeah, that does happen.
Yeah,
but guess
does.
What happens 100 times more? This what I'm talking about, and nobody wants to talk about it. But if you think it's important, then you can send a donation to the Jan Broberg Foundation and help me keep going. We are changing laws to hold predators accountable. Perpetrators should go to jail. They should definitely be held accountable, or they should be helped because they were also perpetrated upon.
I think you were spot on, and I'm so glad you've taken the lead in doing this. Not just because of what you went through, but because you stand up and you have the courage to say, no more, not on my watch. You know, what's the number one thing, and no one wants to be wrong, and I hate to say sure. this, and I don't mean this in a sexist way, but women quite often are like, I don't want to be rude, or I don't want to, and they'll ignore right. danger signs. They'll ignore things yeah. that God-given instincts or nature-given instincts, we don't want to call them, that lets them know that things are not as they seem. There are things about yeah. these people that are not as they seem. And what's the number one thing that parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, neighbors should look for?
Well, really, it is you have to look at your trust, your community of trust, people you trust, and then you go, which person is all the time wanting to take all the kids to the park or to the ice cream parlor or to the movies and says, oh, that's okay, you guys don't have to go, I'll just take all the kids. Or that uncle that always is like, oh, I'm happy to take Johnny with me over to the fishing hole. And people don't like other people's kids, even if they're your nieces and nephews, that much.
No.
Okay? It's not normal.
I love children. So I really do. But honest, Jan, I like my time by myself. I don't want to have to deal with them all the time.
So I think that's a really big one. And it's just like that school teacher that kept kids in. And I had a woman that approached me after she knew my story that was in my church. And she came and she said, my daughter was one of those by that school teacher that's now in jail that came home and told me something, and I I said, "What did you say, honey?" And she tried to talk to her. She was seven. And then I told my husband, and I know both of them, lovely, lovely parents. And her husband's name is Gordon. And Gordon said, "Oh, that's not true. She must have." No, because of course the good guys don't want to believe right. that there are bad guys like that teaching their kids.
We don't think like that. That's part of the problem. We're talking with Jan Broberg. We have so much more to talk about. What we're going to focus on when we return, we're going to talk about how she takes her experience, built the life she has today, and what she does with it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Keep yourself and your loved ones safe by opting for OPPS, Operational Police Protective Services. They offer armed security personnel who can protect you and ensure your safety at all times. They're dedicated to creating a safe environment, building trust, and enhancing the quality of life for their clients. They are committed to delivering quality service, safety, and security in an effective, responsive, and professional way. That's OPPS, Operational Police Protective Services. Get more details at OPPSProtection.com. Again, that's OPPSProtection.com. Return a conversation with Jan Broberg on the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show. Jan was abducted twice as a child, raped multiple times, held hostage for a long period of time. And she has co-written two books with her mother, Stolen Innocence and The Jan Broberg Story. She finished a 9-part miniseries streaming on Peacock right now, A Friend of the Family, and has an additional documentary on Peacock, A Friend of the Family, True Evil. And you can find her at Linktree, linktr.ee/Jan Broberg. Jan, your story is mind-blowing. The amount of trauma to Kate, and I said this before, I don't want people to think I'm dispassionate, but I can't have a conversation from emotion. If I have a conversation from emotion with you, I'm gonna lose it and go and say things that I don't want to say. And my wife talks to me about it all the time, so it's not just you. Trust me. She's like, "Yeah, I know how you feel." What's the old joke we have? I want to punch people, but I'm not allowed to. That's the way things are. So here's what we talked about: the warning signs a little bit about what people should look for, and being the one that is brave enough to say, "Not on my watch. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to do something, and I'm going to take a chance and say things." Very quickly, what are the top three things that people should be aware of that this is not natural, this is not right, and this could be a threat to your child?
I think, first of all, too much attention. We started to talk about that. If there's an overt amount of attention on a child, there's probably something underneath it. There's probably something more going on. I think the second one is really when a child starts to, their personality begins to change kind of suddenly, and either they close the door, they're in their room, they don't want you to talk to them. There's some normal teenage, you know, development in that independence, but it's not normal. You have to notice, you have to know your kids well enough. I'll tell you what my secret was in my family, why we survived, and I had wonderful parents, is because we ate dinner together around our table every single night. It never got missed, and we did not have cell phones. Everybody looked each other in the eye, and my parents listened to us little girls, us three little girls, and we knew we were loved, we knew we were cared for, that we were listened to, and that our opinions and our feelings mattered. That was huge. Right. So that's one, that's another tip. And then the third thing I think that everybody needs to really take a good close look at, what happened to you? If you're a person that's carrying around trauma that went from a childhood experience and you have not resolved it, it absolutely 100% lives in your body. And that cycle of trauma and abuse is perpetrated because you have not taken care of your trauma. So as the adult, you have 100% of the responsibility to mitigate what happened to you. And there is science behind it. There is epigenetics that show that it is passed through our DNA. If we have experienced trauma and we don't do something about it, we don't talk about it, we don't figure out how to calm our central nervous system, we don't understand the neuroscience of the brain and get those pathways right again. And so, not that every person that's abused becomes an abuser, but in my case, because I didn't know what to do, because we didn't even have all these buzzwords and we weren't even talking about it in the 80s when I'm coming out of, you know, graduating from high school in 1980 and trying to act normal. And it didn't show its ugly head until I was married 4 times and divorced. But my one son, do you think he was traumatized by having all these different families Of course he was, because I didn't know what to do. And then I figured it out and I read the right books and I got the right therapist and I went to the neuroscience and I did it. And I'd done the EMDR and I've done the stuff, the TMS and the stuff that you actually can do that scientifically will help you get from the trauma that you don't even want to admit. It can't be this. This was a long time ago. I'm over this. You're not over it.
No.
If you haven't dealt with it. And so if you don't want to pass that cycle of abuse on, deal with yourself as an adult, and then you'll see things with your children and the children in your neighborhood and in your family, and you'll notice the one that sits back or doesn't or tenses when Uncle Henry is always grabbing them and putting them on their lap. You'll notice things that you didn't see before. You'll notice their silver tongue. You'll notice it because you've dealt with your trauma. And that's really how you stop the cycle of abuse, is you have to deal with your trauma. As an adult, you have to tell. It's 1 in 4 boys. It's 1 in 3 girls. It's 25% right. of the whole world walking around abused and sexually assaulted.
It's a staggering number. And you said something that's very, I believe is very important. And it's part of my mantra is I'm not responsible for what happened to me, but I am responsible for how I handle it. And there's certain things I have to do to be okay. And part of them is telling myself when I'm not feeling okay. The other ones, and very quickly, as I do my best to go to bed around the same time every night, wake up same time every day, eat around the same time
every
day.
So good for your central nervous system. You don't even know that you're solving your trauma. Oh, it's absolutely important.
Yeah, awesome. The thing is how am I getting along with people? Those are red flags. Am I getting to the point where I don't want to be around people? Am I argumentative with those who care about me? Those are things I need to watch out for. But I'm ultimately the one responsible for my behavior.
Yes, you're an adult now. Nothing that happened to you as a child, and even into your early 20s when your brain is still developing, there's so many things that I think we forget about our teenagers and because they're so independent. Oh, they asked for it. Oh, they wanted it. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, they haven't developed their whole, and they get arrested in that developmental process, and that's a problem. That's why it is so important to do exactly like what you're saying. And some of these exercises that literally solve trauma, I mean, literally will put it to rest, are so simple that people are like, that can't be true.
I know.
I'm like, try it.
Look, I say this all the time. I'm big into prayer and meditation. And people are like, you?
Yeah.
It's not what you think.
That.
It's not what I thought. But it really does help. And there's other things. There's deep breathing exercises. A lot of other things that sound really hokey to begin with. But one of the things I want to flash back. You said you've been married 4 times and that it came to you that there was something you need to deal about this because it was managing your life. How difficult was that decision for you?
I think I was surprised because I thought that I had dealt with it. I had read a lot of books. I had listened to Oprah. I had made a gratitude journal. And things like that did help me. They moved me forward. But I had not really gone to the extent of going, okay, now what is available that wasn't available when I was 18, 2 years after it ended, but he went on. My perpetrator didn't go to jail. He went to jail for 15 days for the crimes against me. He went on to molest and rape 5 other girls that I know. And one I got to meet in that documentary on Peacock. I go and meet her. She was the girl after me. She's the only one that put him in jail. And she had no idea that he was only in jail for 10 months. And he raped her. Her mother was like, he made sure that her mother was in love with him. And he raped her so that she would be able to be a part of the family. She said it was like taking out the garbage. I had to do that in the bedroom, and then I could go out and be with the rest of the kids. And of course, I know all of his kids because she wanted a family so bad. She was a little single mom, little only girl. You'll meet her if you watch the documentary on Peacock.
Look, I will watch the documentary now, especially. And I don't like watching documentaries like that because it takes me to places I don't always want to. But having had this discussion with you, having this discussion with you really makes me want to watch it. Now, let's talk about that. You got 2 documentaries that you did, and then 2 books. Start with the documentaries. What are they called?
Abducted in Plain Sight came out in 2019. It's on Netflix. And then A Friend of the Family, True Evil, is the documentary that's streaming on Peacock. They're both still there. They're still going.
And you've co-written 2 books with your mother.
Yeah, my mom really wrote the first book as a family history. We had no idea that we were sitting on a family's true crime series that was going to be So it was going to go viral. We had no idea that that was what we were doing. We were just interviewing each other. Like, when I come home from college, like, okay, let's talk more about what was happening with you. And, you know, because my grandpa had died while I was missing. And, you know, I wanted her to give me a timeline. What was happening at home? I mean, my life, I was pretty much gone and checked out of my life, kidnapped for almost 4 years of my childhood. And so that's how it started. And then a Superior Court judge who had been an attorney for children's rights and an advocate, who said all of my cases were pedophilia, you know, and it was the priest to the construction worker, you know, to the dad. It was just like it's everywhere. And so he was at a thing that I was speaking at and telling my story. My mom was there to do a Q&A, and he's the one that said, you got to go publish that book. And we're like, well, it's just a family history. He goes, no, you got to publish your story. Every single thing that I ever dealt with as an attorney or as a Superior Court judge right now in the state of Connecticut is in your story. Go publish this book, this little self-published book, which was Stolen Innocence. And that's how the first documentary got made many years later. So I just have never shut up. That's my gift.
And your second book, by the way, is called The Jan Broberg Story. To get more details, yeah, the best thing to remember is just go to our Linktree. linktr.ee/Jan Broberg. Jan, man, thanks so much for being guest on the show and telling your story.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. And again, the JanBrobergFoundation.org is out there. And I just want people to know we're going to try to prevent it by helping adults who have suffered through this heal and educating people as to what grooming is so they'll see it, so they can intercede for the children, because the children are up against adults. They're not going to tell you. The adult is too smart. They're not. So you have to see it. And then we're going to change public policy and laws so that perpetrators are held accountable. And we have resources for those who need to heal, just like a combat veteran. That kid was at war in his home or her home.
I'd like to thank our guests for coming on the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show. The Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show is a nationally syndicated weekly radio show broadcast on numerous AM and FM radio stations across the country. We're always adding more affiliate stations. If you enjoyed the podcast version of the show, which is always free, please do me a favor and tell a friend or two or three. I'll be back in just a few days with another episode of the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show and podcast. Until then, this is John J. Wiley. See ya.